government wants to keep aircraft safe and air traffic controllers awake.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, the head of the Federal Aviation Administration will launch yet another proposal to stop air traffic controllers from falling asleep on the job. That's after the latest incident of a controller dozing off over the weekend, and at least a half dozen times something like that has happened this year. Marketplace's Janet Babin is with us live, and she has more. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Steve.
So how does the government plan to cut down on the napping?
Well, it ordered longer mandatory rest periods for controllers, so now there has to be 9 hours between shifts instead of eight. And this extra hour is somehow meant to help prevent controllers from sleeping.
On the graveyard shift. Well, is 1 hour really going to make that much of a difference?
You know, I posed that question to Michael Goldfarb, a former FAA chief of staff. He's now an aviation consultant. And while he commended the FAA's intentions here, he doesn't expect this is going to do much good.
I think it's too little too late in this case. They're really playing catch up. I'm not sure that hour will make a difference for what is essentially chronically understaffed facilities.
So then, Janet, how do you solve that, especially with budget concerns?
Well, more staffing, Goldfarb says. You know, traditionally, Steve, this was a good job to get with lots of competition. But the starting salary's been cut back in recent years. There's fewer perks and less incentives to get into the job. Goldfarb says the FAA has got to find a way to make air traffic control jobs more attractive again. But in the current budget climate, the FAA is probably going to have to find a way to do that without any more money. In fact, the House Republicans recently called for scaling back the FAA budget to 2008 levels.
All right. Marketplace's Janet Babin. Janet, thanks.
Thank you.
In China, the government has made yet another attempt to curb soaring inflation. Higher prices there could mean we pay more for things in this country. So for the fourth time this year, Chinese banks have been told to loan less and keep more money in reserve. From Beijing, here's the BBC's Chris Hogg.
Prices in China are rising at their fastest rate in 3 years. The latest annual inflation figure is 5.4%. And new figures out show the economy is still expanding rapidly at a remarkable 9.7% a year, much more than any other big economy. The central bank is trying to get a hold on all this, desperate to try to cool things down. But Peter Hofflick from Asian Banker magazine thinks these measures can only have a limited effect.
China's economy is just too hot, so I think it's going to really take a very long time for them to kick in. Also, they are very limited in the number of policy tools that they can use.
Tackling inflation is a major priority for the Chinese government. If they can't bring it down, it could spark protests from people struggling to pay for food. Plus, there are fears that if wages and prices spiral too high, foreign companies may decide China is no longer the cheapest place to set up shop, sending foreign investment elsewhere. In Beijing, I'm the BBC's Chris Hogg. For Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are down at the moment. First quarter profit fell by nearly a third at Citigroup. That reported this morning. But the bank said losses from bad loans were not as bad as the last quarter. On Friday, the Dow tacked on 56 points to close at 12,341.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. Marketplace Innovations Desk is supported by Jaguar. You can experience the 2011 Jaguar XJ at a local dealer or visit jaguarusa.com.
Today, millions of Americans are in a race against the clock, taking those last-minute complicated tax returns to the mailbox or to the post office. Even Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan, who gets paid to write about business and taxes, can't figure any of this stuff out, and he's here to commiserate with all of us, I guess. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve, and happy tax day to you.
All right, so I'm curious. Taxes have become so complicated. I even read Albert Einstein way back in the day despised doing his taxes because he said they were so complicated.
If Albert were alive now, he'd blow a brain gasket because unless you're taking the standard deduction, there is no way on God's earth you can fill out your tax return without software, in some cases, including mine, even with it.
Why have taxes become so complicated? How did we get here?
Well, you have to think of it as an arms race. People keep finding ways to avoid taxes. The government and the legislators keep changing the rules to make them pay. Plus, as a bonus, you have the alternative minimum tax, which used to be targeted at a handful of people, but is now affects billions of people in the middle and upper middle classes, which requires a whole other set of calculations with different assumptions.
So the AMT is like, that's where you have to multiply by 2 and divide by 16 and all of this. Yeah.
Right. And there's something to do with the lunar cycle and, you know, your body fat mass. And I have something. I have a $38 credit carry forward to 2011. And I have no idea what that means or what it's for. I also have a minimum tax foreign tax credit on exclusion items of $53.
Oh, that's
nice.
I have
no idea what that means.
You know, Alan, President Obama, like many of his predecessors, has promised to reform the tax code, make it simpler. Is he going to succeed in that?
Of course not, because no one ever succeeds. 25 years ago, they supposedly simplified it. But in the 25 years since, it's gotten more and more complicated, and everyone piles on their special things, allowances for this, credits for that. I think the entire thing, frankly, is a plot by the software companies to make it impossible to do your own income tax without software, and maybe they're the people we should be looking at next.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan on this tax day. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, in this age of electronic readers and downloadable ebooks, what do you do if you want a signed copy? A new application called Autography will allow an author to email a picture of him or herself with the reader that could then be signed with a digital stylus pen. It takes about 2.5 minutes to do. The app will debut next month. Now, if they can only invent an app that stands in line for you at the bookstore. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Oil is a finite resource, as in one day there isn't going to be any more. Just don't tell that to the folks who drill for a living.
The United States Geological Survey concluded that America would be out of oil by 1935. While they were wrong...
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Tough Oil, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.